SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz. Craig Mish, you know, he's beating the trail. He's reporting all the news. He's, you know, trying to get into Aaron Judge's hotel room. He's reporting on Trey Turner, getting all the deals done. We finally have gotten to hot stove season in Major League Baseball. I expect we're going to see a little bit more movement today. We'll see what some of those big spending teams end up doing. We actually had, I suppose, at least an exciting conclusion to Monday Night Football, even though most of that game was pretty horrible. We had some pretty exciting finishes in the World Cup yesterday. Brazil scoring 4 goals in the first half. We had our first extra time plus penalties taking place in the World Cup as well. We're broadcasting to you live during Morocco and Spain. George, how is it going out there today? How are we doing, bud?
How we doing? Well, you mentioned Aaron Judge, right? He was in Tampa Bay last night. I guess he was taking in the Buccaneers game there. So if Craig's getting into his hotel room, Aaron ain't there. All right, maybe you can find some scraps of paper with getting us a clue as to where Aaron's going to end up here. I can tell you, as a Yankee fan, you see back there, every time I hear that, you know, on my phone, I'm like, oh, God. You know, it's going to be San Francisco signs Judge, 10 years, $380 million, something like that. Get worried, Davis, get worried. I'm starting to feel more and more like he's not coming back to the Bronx.
Yeah, I mean, I do think you're probably right. I mean, I think every day that passes does make it a little bit less likely. Let's go ahead and get into our headlines here on Tuesday, December 6th. Tom Brady, of course he does, leads a game-winning drive to knock off the Saints on Monday Night Football. You might think that that puts them in a really good spot to win the division. It doesn't. It doesn't really. They're 6-6. The Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are 6-6. Not great. James Harden finally returns for the Philadelphia 76ers. The 76ers lose in double overtime. What a shame. And George, your crosstown rivals, the New York Mets, signed Justin Verlander to a 2-year, $86 million deal. Kind of unbelievable for a guy of that age, but good for him to keep getting those paychecks. And certainly I think his performance last year dictated these would be the terms on which he signed. Probably the biggest news, though, is that Trey Turner signs an 11-year, $300 million deal with the Philadelphia Phillies. I mean, what a tumultuous young career he's had. Washington Nationals, Los Angeles Dodgers, you know, both coasts coming back now to play for the Phillies. And I guess the Phillies were just tired of not having a bat or any defense at shortstop. You know, they didn't really get either of those things in the middle infield. So I think this is a pretty great signing by them.
Great sign. I don't want to go great here because you already had Harper, Schwarber, Castellanos. You can already hit. I would have rather seen them go the pitching direction here rather than the hitting. Don't get me wrong. I love Trey Turner. Would have loved to have seen him on the Yankees. And I think they got off light, by the way. Nuts. $300 million and 11 years. And I think Philadelphia got off light. That only equates to about 27 and change a year as far as AAV. I mean, I would have thought, I guess maybe on a longer-term deal, you're going to have to take less AAV, of course, like most of the leagues here. But I would have thought he would eclipse $30 million a year pretty easily, actually. Turner is that good a player. Judge is looking at somewhere around $37, $38 million a year. All right, so that's why I thought Turner would have done better than that. But I think Philadelphia's going to – you don't have a lot of pitching there. You know, after Wheeler, after Nola, not a lot there. So I thought maybe they should have gone that direction here. But you know what this reminds me of, Davis? Think about the World Series winning Washington Nationals, who also play in the National League East. You know, they won the World Series, what, 3 years ago? Max Scherzer. Okay, he's on the Mets. All right. Bryce Harper, Phillies. Trey Turner, Phillies. You know, all in the National League, National League East. And the one star you have left on that team, Strasburg, can't stay healthy for more than a week. Nationals, this has to be their worst nightmare to see all of their superstars from that championship team wind up back in the NL East.
Yeah, I mean, they are abjectly terrible. They are now, you know, they've now joined one of these, you know, long list of honestly coward organizations in Major League Baseball that make money hand over fist every year. They make money every year. they get the salary cap money they don't spend. The Yankees pay them, the Dodgers pay them, the Mets pay them, the television stations pay them, the fans pay to come to the games. Every year they make all this money, they don't spend any money, they don't reinvest it. I mean, you know, look, I'm speaking from experience here. Kansas City Royals, every year they make a ton of money. Every year they field a non-competitive product. Although, hopefully with this change in general manager, this change in overall manager, maybe things will be a little bit different. And, you know, returning to that game last night, not only did we see Mr. Tom Brady lead a drive, but we saw a little bit of a change in the backfield for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Rashad White got the start in that game. Now, Fournette got 10 carries and 7 targets. White got 9 carries and 8 targets. But, you know, Leonard Fournette has now really gone into a timeshare. And poor Mike Evans, you know, Marcus Lattimore doesn't play, doesn't seem to matter, still useless against the New Orleans Saints. 4 receptions, 59 yards, compared to 13 targets for Chris Godwin.
Yeah, he seemed to be invisible throughout the game for whatever reason. I mean, he could have had that big play on that, the game-winning drive there. He was open. He would have caught the long, 40, 50-yard touchdown pass, but he was at the field with the guy, pretty much tackled him before he could get the ball. It was a good play by the defender. You have no choice there. He's going to catch it. So, yeah, that would have changed things dramatically. Not to mention, I would have won my bet if you would have done that. So it would have been nice to get that as well. Listen, when Godwin had that call back, that was a lot of money out of my pocket there, Dave. It was a lot of money there. It was the right call, mind you, but a lot of money out of my pocket.
There we go. All right, everyone, we have a fantastic show coming up for you today. We're going to help you get through everything for your fantasy football teams. We're going to take a look at some of our dynasty fantasy football rosters and fantasy standouts as well. Don't go anywhere. We'll see you back here in a few moments.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Hamatic, joined by George Kurtz. We were treated last night to a 17-16 game between the New Orleans Saints and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Probably ended any chance that the Saints had of making the playoffs. They would have been 5-8, which sounds like it would be, you know, quite far out. But, you know, right now, the Seattle Seahawks are sitting there as the sixth seed. And they look, to me, they look pretty catchable. So last night's game, pretty high stakes. The Saints honestly did look like the better team through most of that game. But, you know, Tom Brady, he does what he does in the end. When the Buccaneers abandon the run, they end up being able to figure things out. Shocker. So our Tampa Bay Buccaneers fantasy standouts, George, Tom Brady, 281 passing yards, 2 touchdowns. Leonard Fournette, 49 rushing yards, 6 receptions, 39 yards. Rashad White, 28 yards, 6 receptions, 41 receiving yards, and a receiving touchdown. Cade Otton ends up coming up big on that final drive. 6 receptions, 28 yards, 1 touchdown. And I suppose the big news here, there are two things. One, Chris Godwin, to me, seems to have just firmly supplanted Mike Evans as the wide receiver you want to own in Tampa Bay. He's got double-digit targets in all but 2 games since returning from injury. He had that hamstring injury in week 1. Mike Evans, you know, just not on that same touchdown pace that he's been in years past. And Leonard Fournette is now just in a bona fide timeshare with Rashad White. No way around it.
Oh, agreed. I think Rashad White's the one you want. He's got fresher legs. He's got burst. You know, he looks dangerous. Where Fournette? Not so much. To me, this is like a lesser version of Zeke and Pollard, right? Fournette is Zeke and White is Pollard. You know, if you want the more explosive back, you want White. Not that Fournette doesn't have a role. He does have a role, but just, I'd rather have the ball in White's hand here. I don't think the Buccaneers won that game last night. The Saints lost it. And those last 2 drives, I mean, what are you doing? That was like a how-to lose a game. I mean, Ingram going out of bounds there. I know he's since apologized on Twitter. I'm not here to pile on, but hey, it hurt. That's a lot of time you left on the clock there because you went out of bounds and you didn't get that first down. You're only a yard away, you know, and then they're play calling. What are you doing here? And Taysom Hill drops the ball. Yes, it was a great hit by Keanu Neal. Absolute fantastic hit. And he should be applauded for that. But he dropped the ball. Catch it. Game's over. We're not talking about this. Not talking at all about this. And by the way, you mentioned that the Saints, if they would have won the game, that it could go to Seattle – They could have caught Tampa. They'd only be a half game behind Tampa in the division. That's how sick that division was. We were talking on In-Game Live last night when it was 16-3. I'm like, who's going to win this division? Tampa Bay's next two games are against San Fran and Cincinnati. If they play like they did last night, they're not going to win either one of those. We might still be talking about this division in 2 weeks if they can't get it together here. The red zone offense looks – their offense as a whole looks broke. Just looks broken here for Tampa Bay. Hard to rely on anybody. Tom Brady has to get rid of that ball in two-plus seconds. If you can just hold on to his receivers for two-plus seconds there, you're going to get the Brady. He gets all flustered then. He doesn't have the protection he used to have here, and he doesn't have that safety blanket Gronk. As much as I think White should be the running back here, it's still not a great running game to take the pressure off, and no one's really worried about it. They're coming after him, and he keeps taking those deep shots. What was it, two or three to Julio Jones, a couple of Mike Evans? None complete. None. All right, he's missing them. You know, so this is just, it was kind of ugly last night. And, you know, you brought up Mike Evans before. Boy, if I don't know if you saw the video on ESPN, but the one shot he took to Julio Jones, Evans was open by 10 yards on the other side. It would have been an easy touchdown. I bring this up because, once again, I had that boost of bet last night. I had the yardage. All I needed was one touchdown, one from Evans, Godwin, or Chris Olave. But no, I did not get it.
Yeah. Absolutely brutal. Olave with a down game. Not really what we've come to expect from him. All right, moving to the New Orleans Saints side of the ball. Andy Dalton, just, you know, doing the bare minimum. 229 passing yards, one touchdown. Probably the biggest story of the game for me is going to be Taysom Hill. So with Juwan Johnson out, Taysom honestly just played tight end. He had three rushes for 10 yards, three targets, two receptions, 35 yards, and a touchdown. Of course, threw a pass for 21 yards as well. And, you know, just as the season continues to go for the Saints, they're just, honestly, to me, it just looks like they're running out of ideas. They just don't really know what to do. So they have been playing Taysom more and more. Very surprising usage last night with Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara. Mark Ingram playing on third downs, running more passing routes than Alvin Kamara. Only 27 rushing yards, 5 receptions, and 22 yards. So it's not like Mark Ingram helped you win your week or anything like that. But definitely, I mean, we have to be concerned now with Kamara just not really working in the passing game. I mean, he only played 59% of the snaps last night for the New Orleans Saints. And one of the few actual big stories for the New Orleans Saints is Rashid Shaheed basically becoming their second wide receiver ahead of Jarvis Landry. 4 targets, 4 receptions, 75 yards, gets a rushing attempt as well. He is also their primary kick and punt returner, played 61% of the snaps last night. It feels like, and Shaheed was not a dominant college receiver, but did work a lot as a returner, was actually a great college kick returner, which generally can kind of translate to NFL skills. So the Saints, they remain a mess. They remain one of my least favorite teams to watch, but at least Taysom Hill is tight end eligible. And that,
I believe the Colts got flexed to another standalone game yesterday. All right, on whatever 17th, a Saturday game. Like, are you kidding me? I got to watch this again. You know, you're like, you're trying to torture me here. Saints are right up there with them. The veterans just aren't getting it done. I mean, you mentioned Kamara. Yeah, we got to be concerned about him. Is he dealing with an injury they're not telling us? What's going on here? All right, I understand he wasn't going to do much on the ground yesterday, okay? Tampa's good as far as stopping the run, but not to be involved in the passing game? That seems silly. And, you know, Dalton had a lot of times he had all day to throw back there. I mean, really all day to look at second, third, fourth options there. So just not good. Landry looks toast. You know, put a fork in him, he's done. No burst there at all. I know people say he dropped the one pass that would have been a touchdown. He went up for a one-handed grab. He just couldn't hold it in. I wouldn't call that a drop. Would have been a great catch. But you know, other than that, he just looks done to me. We know Michael Thomas, who I just don't think wants to play football anymore. At least not in New Orleans. He's been out for the year now. The veterans aren't getting it done. You know, the rookies are fun to watch. Olave did have the big drop last night. And by the way, if you would have caught that ball, that's points he dropped. Now it's a third down play. He catches it there in field goal range at least. It went first. I think it went first in goal, if I remember correctly there. So it could have been major points. That was a huge drop in the game. But Olave is really the only player I want to watch on this team is Olave.
Yeah, I mean, Olave is the only one who seems to have some burst. Honestly, kind of what it looks like is he's the only one who is like having fun playing. Like everything about the New Orleans Saints just seems joyous. You just watch them and you're like, you know, Andy Dalton's only in because Jameis has an injured back. Taysom Hill is playing all the time, and it's like, oh, great, he's on, you know, punt returns. Like, it's just honestly, it's awful. to watch. And Kamara, it's sort of interesting. I mean, Kamara has been, when healthy and without the suspension concerns, he's kind of been like a top 20 pick in fantasy football for what, like the last 5 years probably or so. We're going to see, George, we're going to see some huge shakeups in the first round of fantasy football next year. I mean, how about this? Travis Kelce coming off maybe the most impressive and valuable fantasy football season ever because tight end scoring is so down. He's averaging over 19 fantasy points per game. No other tight end is averaging over 12 fantasy points per game. But Travis Kelce at 33 was already he was the oldest first-round pick ever. No player aged over 33 had ever been a first-round fantasy pick before. Next year, he's going to be 34. The tight end position is going to be even worse than it was this last year, and fantasy managers are really going to have a hard time figuring out, do I take a 34-year-old in the first round of my fantasy draft? Like, I don't know. It's going to be pretty close, but definitely something pretty interesting to think about. And of course, we're going to be going over next year in fantasy football. I mean, look, we got a whole baseball season in between then. Craig's going to come back. We're going to be doing our preseason fantasy baseball coverage, so don't you guys worry about that. We are going to go ahead and run into break here real quick on the program. When we return, we are going to take a look at some dynasty fantasy football questions, one of my favorite formats of fantasy football to play. George and I will dig pretty deep, so don't go anywhere. Stay on the grid, and we'll see you back here in a few moments.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz, while Craig Mish is out there pounding the pavement, figuring out everything going on in winter meetings. Craig will be back with us tomorrow. I assume he will have some fresh hot tips for us to go over. We'll also touch on the fantasy football waiver wire and check out our friends over at Thrive Fantasy as well. George, feels like our producer, Brett Levy, he kind of threw me a bone here. He knows that I love to play dynasty fantasy football. I am one of those nerds. I'm in double-digit dynasty leagues, best ball, super flex, tight end premium, all these things. Absolutely love it. And let me tell you, there is really not a greater feeling on this planet than getting one over on your buddies, adding a guy off waivers, getting a guy in the fourth round of your rookie drafts who ends up becoming a multi-year fantasy starter. So here in our Dynasty Watch segment, we are just going to go ahead and take a look at a couple guys who might be out there on the waiver wire in your leagues. And we're going to begin with our guy from last night, Rashid Shaheed, who, is really, I think, landed in the perfect spot for him, because a guy like Shaheed on most teams is probably not going to ever get a chance. But the Saints, I mean, what do we know about the Saints? They grab these guys from anywhere. They will, anyone who is good, they'll play them, they'll use them in a unique role. And Shaheed was not a great receiver in college. He acquired about 29-30% of his team's yards and touchdowns when he was in college, but was an elite kick returner, 7 career kick return touchdowns in college, already has 5 plays of over 30 yards. I mean, that's pretty incredible considering he only has 15 touches. I actually do think there's a chance Shaheed is like a starting receiver for the Saints for the next couple of years.
Of course there's a chance, right? But aren't the Saints sort of a mess right now? All right, what did you say last segment? You mentioned it. We didn't delve into it, but Kamara, he's going to get suspended at some point next year. All right, 4 games, 6 games, 8 games, whatever it might be. He's going to get suspended for that incident in Vegas. They were able to push off the court proceedings late after the season here, but that should be wrapped up before next season. I don't know what Mike Thomas is going to bring you next year. And who the hell is the quarterback? All right, it can't be Dalton. Please, Davis, tell me it can't be Dalton. All right, and Winston, you don't want him now, so I don't see it being then. It can't be a rookie, or at least not a top rookie, because, hey, Philadelphia has that pick. And by the way, the Eagles are going to be a nightmare for a long time in the NFC. So I don't know what they're going to do at quarterback here. They're going to sign a veteran, but I can't see it being a big play here because I don't see this offense getting dramatically better. I think it actually might get worse.
I mean, I think it is for sure going to get worse, right? Because Andy Dalton's not going to be the quarterback next year. Jameis probably won't be either. I mean, you could see Jameis going a lot of different places. There are, I mean, don't the Denver Broncos need a backup quarterback who can move the ball a little bit? I mean, there are teams that need Jameis more than the New Orleans Saints. Now, my favorite guy that we're going to talk about is Chig Okonkwo. He played at the University of Maryland, was really good at the University of Maryland, played with Tua's little brother. His final season, 52 receptions, almost 500 yards, 5 touchdowns. You're not going to see very many college tight ends who get to 50 receptions. Pretty strong there. Had a great combine. You know, I mean, we see this all the time. These young athletic tight ends, they have great combines and never end up doing much of anything. But after Treylon Burks got injured last week, instead of just being like, all right, well, I guess let's just play Cody Hollister a bunch of snaps, I think the Titans coaching staff did something pretty intelligent, and they were like, you know, this guy is the most athletic guy we have on offense other than Burks. We should just put him on the field and see what happens. 5 targets, 4 receptions, 68 yards. Already has one really impressive touchdown on the year. Almost had another one, by the way, in their Monday night game. I want to say it was against Denver. He had like a 48-yard reception where he almost ended up scoring. I'm really in on Chig Okonkwo. I think he is really strong, and I'm adding him in a lot of these dynasty leagues.
Once again, you already talked about this again. Tight end is desolate, man. It's bad. It's not going to get better either here. So I have no problem taking a shot here. None at all. Listen, I'll be the first to tell you, I was in on, Alberto, Ayo, with Denver here. Picked him up in a couple of dynasty leagues. So, he's going to be the guy. Didn't work out for me. And sort of, you know, this is what this reminds me of. Could be the same situation here that we like him now, but the full season, is Malik Willis going to be the quarterback as well next year? You know, he certainly didn't look ready for it this year. You know, maybe another offseason we'll see there. Tight end can be a quarterback's best friend, though, right? Big target, close to the line of scrimmage, easy to find him. But I'm also a big believer that tight end, outside of quarterback, I think tight end is the hardest position to learn in football. Because you've got to be a blocker and a receiver. So you got to be able to do all of both. So we'll see here. But, yes, I'm interested in him as well. But it's more because tight end just sucks. I mean, it's just bad.
I mean, it's so bad. And, I mean, you see how guys like this end up becoming fantasy. I mean, Dalton Schultz was not athletic, but he was a guy who hung around on Dallas's roster for 3 years before he got a chance. Now he's like, what, top 5 tight end? And I think you did make another great point, which is tight end is such a difficult position to learn. I think that's maybe one of the explanatory variables for why the tight end position has been so bad in fantasy football, is that these guys are just asked to do so much, and it really does take a special talent to be able to do the blocking part of the job well and the receiving part of the job well. Like, it's almost just too much to ask because these modern offenses have gotten so so intricate and so creative. So I definitely think you're on to something there. Moving on now to the former third-string tight end for the San Francisco 49ers, Mr. Irrelevant of the 2022 NFL Draft, Brock Purdy. We talked about him a little bit on the show yesterday, but he had, you know, the Benjamin Button career at Iowa State. Started out phenomenal, 16 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, 170 quarterback rating as a true freshman at Iowa State. They were pretty good his original year under Matt Campbell, won some big games. And then every year at Iowa State, he got worse. I mean, this was a guy we were talking about being a first-round draft pick at one point, ends up being Mr. Irrelevant, but comes in to his very first game for the San Francisco 49ers, comes in cold off the bench after Jimmy G is out, beats the Miami Dolphins, one of the teams that is the top seed in the AFC, goes 25 for 37, 210 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception, did take 3 sacks, didn't add anything as a rusher. But I mean, you know, at the end of the day, is Brock Purdy going to be any worse than Nick Mullins? Is he going to be any worse than CJ Beathard? You know, some of these guys that have done all right in the Shanahan system? I don't think so. I think he'll probably be fine. Now, are the 49ers going to win the Super Bowl? No. But Brock Purdy, I think, is a really strong, you know, super flex option pretty much for the rest of the year.
I don't know if I'd go strong super flex option because I do think they're going to play run game heavy here. So you're looking at 1 touchdown pass a game, you know, or you better help me hit that running back like you hit the McCaffrey this week. They're going to rely on that defense. Defense in the run game, that's going to be their script here. So I'm not going to go with a strong super flex. He's an option. There are so many injuries right now. And Stafford's out. Lamar Jackson's out. Obviously, San Fran's got issues here. And all the quarterbacks, he just can't stand, right? You know, he's got more upside than an Andy Dalton. You know, and a couple other guys out there. So I think he's an option. I'm certainly not going strong option there. Because, like I said, I don't think Shanahan's going to allow him to be that. I just don't. I'm probably downgrading all of the San Fran receivers here because of what's going on here. I'm not downgrading the team all that much. I think they'll still win their share of games. But also, let's not forget this as well. Now, team's going to game plan for him. They didn't do that last week. They're game planning for him now. Let's see how he plays up against this. And plus, Miami's defense is not good, period. All right, so it'll be a little different against Tampa Bay this week when teams are preparing for him. Let's see what he can do. That being said, I have hope. You know, I'm not like, this guy's terrible. You know, I sort of liked what I saw there. He certainly didn't look scared. You know, for Mr. Irrelevant, he didn't look scared at all. He looked ready to play here, which may be a testament to Shanahan getting him ready to play. You know, as well as Purdy's own confidence, his own makeup there. Good for both.
Yep. All right. And then finally, we have the University of Kansas's own Steven Sims. Started out his career on the Washington football team, actually played quite a bit as a rookie, and then ended up getting replaced when they drafted Terry McLaurin. He's now found a role kind of as the slot wide receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's been okay. Got some rushing production last week, actually 3 rushes for 19 yards, 2 targets in the passing game. He is also the team's primary punt returner. I mean, guys like this, not that dissimilar to like a Jamison Crowder type, you know, basically a guy who's going to hang around kind of on the back end of rosters. Isaiah McKenzie, maybe another example. You know, Isaiah McKenzie had to hang around in the NFL for 5 years before he found a role on this Buffalo Bills team. And yeah, I mean, he seems okay. I definitely prefer, if we're ranking guys on this list, I definitely would rather have Shahid and Okongwu. You know, Purdy, like, whatever. In a super flex league, obviously, you want him. I'm not super jazzed up about Steven Sims, though.
I think it's hard to be jazzed up. Different kind of offense as well here. That would be throwing the ball up and down the field. I think that he could have some value, but I don't see upside. I think that's my problem. I don't see upside here. I do see it with some of the other players we talked about, where, okay, they could hit here. Pittsburgh, no, traditionally, they're not that kind of throwing team. Plus, you know, what's the best case scenario? He's 4th on the target list here, behind the top 2 receivers and Freiermuth. So it's hard to see him really doing much there. So I like upside in these situations, and I just don't see it from Sims.
Yeah, I mean, and in general, the Pittsburgh Steelers have kind of been one of those organizations that has done, you know, such a good job developing wide receiver talent, but it's more on the side of guys they draft, right? Like, it's not, they don't have a great track record of signing guys in free agency, but, you know, Deontay Johnson, Smith-Schuster, I guess maybe you could even say Claypool was a miss at that point, but they do tend to do a good job. So guys, that is a good deep look at some Dynasty Fantasy Football waiver wire ads you could be making right now. Make sure to put some bids in there on Chake Okongwu. We are going to go ahead and head into break here real quick on the program. When we return, we are, of course, going to be ending our show with Fantasy or Reality. So don't go anywhere. Stay on the grid, George, and I'll be back here in just a few moments. See you then.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. A quick reminder that you need to be following at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV on social media. Don't miss out, you guys. If you're not following these accounts, if you don't have the notifications turned on for at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV, you're going to be missing out on all the news, notes, injury analysis. We've been doing some giveaways on the program, and actually we just sent out the beta link for some new features of the Sports Grid website. So you guys are definitely not staying on top of your sports wagering experience if you are not following at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV. All right, George, we can do a little bit of baseball here on the program, given that it is in fact hot stove season. So yes, we're waiting on Aaron Judge, but I actually I'm just curious, what do you think the defending World Series champion Houston Astros, what is their move? How are they going to replace Justin Verlander? You know, they already made a move at you know, first base DH, but what does the defending World Series champion Astros offseason look like to you?
Well, they really don't have to replace Verlander. Even with Verlander gone, they have six starters. People forget that they were overloaded with starters in the first place. That's why during the season last year, there was talk about them trading Urquidy to the Chicago Cubs for Contreras. All right, so they don't have to make a move. They're starters right now, by the way. The season started tomorrow. Valdez, Javier, McCullers, Garcia, Urquidy, Hunter Brown, a youngster. So they're fine. And by the way, Hunter Brown's a top youngster. So they're fine as far as starting pitching. I expect their next move to be catcher. I mentioned they actually were going to get Contreras from the Cubs at the trade deadline. It was overruled by management. He didn't want to give up Urquidy. So I think they're going to get Contreras. I also hear Sean Murphy is on their radar as well. It looks like the Oakland Athletics are going to trade him. The three teams we're hearing being mentioned are the Astros, the Cardinals, and the Braves, although the Braves seems to have dropped out of it last night. That price will be heavy. Murphy's one of the best catchers in the game, and he's under team control until after the 25 season. So I think that's where they're going for here. I expect them to get either Contreras, to sign him via a free agency, or trade for Murphy.
Yeah, look, I am going to defer to George and Craig because I have not thought about baseball personally since the World Cup started, but realistically, even before that, I haven't even had much time to do the ice puck stick game either. So, of course, guys, as always, we are going to take a deep look into fantasy or reality. All right, so the big news yesterday was that Jacob DeGrom, I gotta admit, this one took me by surprise. I really did assume he would just be a Met, right? I mean, just why would he not be a Met? He came up in the Mets organization. The Mets, with Steve Cohen, pretty much have an unlimited amount of money to spend on the team, but he signed a huge contract with the Texas Rangers, a team that kind of tried to spend their way out of being terrible, which I guess we should applaud at this point. But very simple question, George. We are just wondering, the Mets sign Justin Verlander kind of to replace that spot in their rotation. DeGrom last season, he was okay. Definitely not his best season ever. So very simple question. Jacob DeGrom will have a better 2023 season than Justin Verlander, fantasy or reality?
Yeah, two big pitching signings, right? Kind of funny. Mets, I think Texas signed DeGrom on Friday, I want to say, and then Mets answer a couple of days later, even before the DeGrom press conference with Texas. I think they wanted to get that done to make sure they could offset that news and also give their fans a reason not to grumble as much here. For what it's worth, my opinion, Mets did the right thing. DeGrom, $175 million over 5 years, $37 a year team option for a sixth year. That's a lot. A lot to pay for a pitcher who's made 38. That's 38 starts over the last 3 years combined. 38. So to answer this question here, fantasy reality, DeGrom has a better season? I'll say fantasy, but it's going to depend on how you look at it. His numbers might end up being better than Verlander's, but I think Verlander pitches more. And that's what I want, So it really comes down to, if Verlander is making 27 starts and DeGrom only half that, well, then Verlander's had a better year. Unless he implodes and his ERA is 5, he's had a better season. You're getting more starts out of him. I also think the Mets are almost certainly going to the playoffs next year. DeGrom doesn't change the needle all that much for Texas. All right, were they 30 games below 500 last year? So they got a ways to go even with DeGrom here. They need DeGrom to pitch. That being said, if you could guarantee me that DeGrom's going to make 20-plus starts, then the answer is DeGrom. But I ain't betting on that. Until I see it. Like I said, Davis, 38 starts the past 3 seasons. This is a fantasy for me.
Yeah, you know what? So I'm inclined to agree with you based on total number of starts. I mean, it does just feel like Justin Verlander has tapped into something, the magic elixir, the fountain of youth. Maybe it'll come out that he's cheating in some way in the end. But Jacob DeGrom really has struggled with his health. I mean, just for example, Jacob DeGrom has not won more than 11 games since 2017 in terms of like innings pitched. He's not been over 100 innings pitched since 2019. Like, we're talking about a long, long time. So some of the durability concerns you would have with someone of Verlander's age, you would have for Jacob DeGrom, because he just has not been able to be healthy. And also, he was not even as dominant last season as you would like him to be. You know, you look at ERA plus, you look at fielding independent pitching. He was markedly worse than some of the best seasons of his career. See, actually, I just changed my mind in the middle of it because my answer was going to be I expect DeGrom to have, like, better higher-end outcomes, like more, you know, 8-inning, 13-strikeout type starts or whatever. But I don't even think that that's true after looking a little bit deeper at his statistics. So I have fantasy as well. I think we got to take Verlander over Jacob DeGrom. Moving now to our guy, Deion Sanders. Not only is Deion Sanders making a big move with recruits, you know, he already brought in some of the big NIL guys with him who were committed to his old job and to guys who were committed to other historical black colleges and universities, got them to change their alignment to come. But he's also doing it with head coaches. He got the Kent State head coach, Sean Lewis, to come be the offensive coordinator at Colorado. And I think this is really smart because Deion, I think Deion is smart enough to understand. He's like, yeah, I'm not the biggest X's and O's guy. I'm not developing the next cutting edge offense or cutting edge defense. I'm a CEO. You know, I am the decision maker. I'm the guy who oversees everything. So fantasy or reality, George, again, we got a pretty simple one here. You would leave a head coaching job to join Deion Sanders at Colorado, fantasy or reality?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things here. One, can your ego get over it, right? If you're leaving the head coach job, okay, you were the boss, now you're not, right? You're working under somebody. Can you get under that? Money, of course. You know, if you're making a few million at the head coaching job, you got to get a severe pay cut to be a coordinator. That's going to play into it. But that being said, I think you need to look long term here. I assume you're going to leave the head coaching job. You're at nowhere state, right? You're not at a huge college here. You go with Deion in Colorado. Boy, you're going to get noticed. You're going to get noticed, which leads to NFL opportunities or maybe even head coaching opportunities at major colleges, right? So, yes. Yeah, this is sure. Yeah, I may have to take a little bit of a pay cut now, small pay cut, not hopefully not too big here, to pay off in the future, where now I might get a head coach job at a better, you know, or top, you know, university, right? Major school. Or maybe go to the NFL and start my way up there. That's where my ultimate goal is. So, yes, this is a reality to me. I would look at, like I said, stepping stone. Got to do what's best for my future here. I think this is a reality.
Yeah, I mean, so again, I think you hit the nail on the head. It totally depends on where I'm at in life, where I'm at in coaching. So, for example, one of my best friends growing up, right now he is a defensive coordinator at the national champion Hutchinson Community College, right? So they're the best team in junior college or whatever. Good job, but obviously not where he wants to be. You know, he wants to be the Cowboys defensive coordinator or whatever. And you got to have a couple steps in between there. So if he got offered the head coaching job there or the step up to the NCAA to D1, I totally think he would take it. But for example, you know, if I was one of the caretaker coordinators at Alabama, feels like having, you know, one of these coordinator jobs in the SEC is always a great step to becoming a head coach somewhere to getting an NFL job. Then I would say no. The other thing about being one of Deion's assistant coaches is, you know, you're going to get some FaceTime. You know, you're going to be on ESPN. You know, you're going to be on, you know, because Deion, like, you know, the Colorado Buffaloes, laughable program this year. One of the worst programs in Division I college football. They're still probably not going to be great next year, but they're definitely going to be better. But they are also, you know, it's going to be on First Take. It's going to be on Undisputed. They're going to be talking about Deion Sanders. So it definitely would raise your profile that way. So I'm going to say reality, you know, obviously contingent on where I'm coming from. And then finally, we have a little bit of discussion of a great show that I loved. Chrissy Alley, unfortunately, passed away after a short battle with cancer. Rest in peace to Chrissy Alley. But a very simple question here. You will remember Chrissy Alley for her role in Cheers as opposed to something else, fantasy or reality, George.
Oh, I'm going to get in trouble here again. Haven't seen too many episodes of Cheers. Not one of my favorite shows growing up. I believe it was on the same time, if I remember, back in the 80s as Magnum P.I. and Simon & Simon. And I like my crime shows. And back then, listen, recording things wasn't as easy as it is now, by the way, boys and girls. All right. So I never really got into Cheers. That being said, I did know Kirstie Alley was on it. I would probably remember her more for Wrath of Khan. You know, she was in Wrath of Khan. No, I didn't have a major role there, but she was in Wrath of Khan. Look Who's Talking. She was in there. A Runaway with Tom Selleck. Those are roles I would remember her for. Dead at 71 too soon. And I don't know about you, Dave. It seems like a lot of our singers or actors are dying of late.
Yeah, I mean, well, a lot of the people that are very famous, a lot of the people that we grew up watching, George, I mean, you hate to break it, but you get over the average median age in the United States, and it becomes much more likely that you are going to pass away. I believe the median age of death for men is like 68, and the median age of death for women is 65, 66, so we're definitely getting to that stage. I actually have reality. This is going to be one of the only times I'm more familiar with something from the 80s than you. Love Cheers. A huge fan of Cheers. Used to watch it in reruns, you know, when I was a kid. I believe they put it on Nick at Night for a while, you know. But, I mean, yeah, it was just one of those shows. I enjoyed it. I mean, same as, like, watched a ton of Seinfeld in reruns and in syndication growing up. I mean, come on. How did you miss Cheers? Cheers feels like it would be right up your alley. I guess you're more of a New York guy than a Boston guy, so maybe that rubbed you the wrong way?
No, I have nothing to do with that. I like crime shows. I'm a big crime show guy. Over the years, the only comedies I can remember really liking, Married with Children, Two and a Half, more raunchy stuff like that, Two and a Half Men, and now the stuff that's maybe on cable. But regular TV, I didn't watch too many comedies. I like my crime shows, which is Magnum and Simon and Simon. They were on at the same time. Like I said, you sort of had to choose one or the other here. Couldn't watch both.
All right, there we go. So a good, thorough discussion of Deion Sanders, of Cheers, of Major League Baseball free agency. You get a little bit of everything here on Fantasy Sports Today, so make sure that you guys are back with us again. Tomorrow, Craig Mish will be rejoining me. If you missed any of our content today, you want a little bit of recap, go back and watch that on demand. We're going to go ahead and run into break here real quick on the program. When we return, we'll end the show with the Sports Grid 60.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. As always, we are going to end our program with a little something we like to call the Sports Grid 60.
All right. Last night, the Cowboys wined and dined Odell Beckham. He went to the Dallas Mavericks game with a couple of players here. We should find out his final decision, if not tonight, sometime tomorrow, but where he's going to end up with. It looks like your final three contenders are Dallas, Buffalo, and the Giants. I would think the Giants are eliminated if he wants to go to a team that has a shot at the Super Bowl here. Giants aren't that team. He has to know that by now. But I'll say this. I don't think he's going to be that guy. A lot of the fan base think he's going to be, where he's going to show up and all of a sudden be Odell Beckham again. Hasn't played in almost a year. He's not going to know the quarterback. He's not going to know the system. But he'll be as a decoy almost, right? Teams going to have to cover him, account for him, which could open up things for your other receiver there. Could open up things for Stephon Diggs. Could open up things for CeeDee Lamb. Well, I just don't think he's that guy anymore. Not this year. You know, next year, hey, maybe, but not this year.
Hey, I am. I'm completely with you. The Odell Beckham thing. It's like I would not anticipate him really making much of a difference for anyone unless he signs for a team that makes it to a conference championship or something, and then he's a year out removed from that ACL. My final bit here on the World Cup. You know, yesterday Brazil scored 4 goals in the first half, one of the best games of the tournament, and then this morning Morocco, Spain has been poor. You know, this is when people in the United States think of like, oh, soccer, it's so boring, it's horrible, I can't watch it, it's like watching paint dry. It's this game that they are thinking of. I mean, really, there's nothing worse than a sport where neither team is trying to score. I mean, just truly the absolute worst. So not going to blame anyone if they enjoyed this program over watching Morocco, Spain. Thank you to everyone over at LTN. Thank you to our producer. Thank you to George. I'll see you back with Craig Mish tomorrow. Make sure that you're back here. And we'll be back. See you then. Stay on the grid, everybody.